This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08 in the evening and you are with Lynn and Cam on the evening edition. Now we're joined by Tasha for Popit Popit Parliament. What happened in Dewan Rakyat today?
Okay, so the morning sort of kicked off with a pretty enthusiastic demonstration at the Parliament gates. And this time it was about Lynas, the Australian rare earth processing plant in Kuantan that, you know, we've read a lot about. It's been getting a bit of bad press lately. Today, both supporters and opposers of Lynas were out in full force. Here's Dr. Pua Kia Yao from Himpunan Hijau explaining their reason for gathering today.
Yeah, we are here to send in a memorandum. Memorandum signed and backed up by more than 60 NGOs that are very, very concerned about the risk that Lynas is posing on our homeland, Malaysia. We are sending in the memorandum and we are asking for immediate suspension of the operation of Lynas and also deal with the waste that is piling up, you know. Tons and tons and tons, you know, thousands and thousands of tons of radioactive waste in our homeland. It's nothing new. We have been fighting this for 7, 8, 9 years. And now we are seeing even bigger chance of closing down Lynas. So we are very confident they do not know the risk that they are actually facing, Lynas. They do not know. So we are here to remind them, to educate them actually. So hopefully they have the ears to listen and think for themselves. We are doing this for their own good, for Lynas' own good.
Tasha, you used the word spirited just now. I think that's an excellent description. It's enthusiastic. There's a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. YB Wong Tak, the Member of Parliament for Bentong, was there as well. And he's been very vocal about the operations at Lynas. In fact, he was arrested for participating in an anti-Lynas demonstration back in 2014. So here he's giving us like a quick summary of what Lynas is being accused of doing today.
Since day one, I told them their operation is non-compliant and against our law and regulation. It's very clear. No waste, scheduled waste, not to mention radioactive waste, can be stored on site more than 180 days. That is our law. Now it's not 6 months, now it's 6 years on. Almost 1.5 million tons of waste sitting at the backyard of Lynas, quite open, which is against the law. And then we also have to know that very clear the law stated that no more than 20 tons of scheduled waste allowed to be put on site. So now this one point, from 6 months to 6 years, from 20 metric tons to 1.5 million tons. So it's serious violation of law. And at the same time, the law also clearly said that the scheduled material must be covered in a container and isolated from biosphere. And now this waste has been piled up at the back like a mountain, quite open. For years, including the radioactive waste. You have visited the plant. I see all these things in my own eyes, with dust flying. So it's very serious. It's very serious violation, I would say. And we also know that, according to record, groundwater contamination is serious. So all this impact on environment already happening.
What did the pro-Lynas people on the other side of the road have to say?
They were equally as spirited. The Radiation Safety Regulations and Compliance General Manager, Dr. Ismail Bahri and Mimi Afzan Azha, their VP of People and Culture, were really super adamant that they haven't done anything wrong at all and that there's a general lack of understanding about what rare earth is and how much we actually need it.
We are not people who are stupid working in Lynas, okay? We know what we are doing. They are all from chemistry background, engineering background, and we have IPs already being actually produced in Lynas itself. And we are the only rare earth producer outside of China. You have rare earth in your phone. You have rare earth in your car. You have rare earth as the polishing powder for your specs, for your camera and whatnot. It's already surrounding you. So you want to have your phone, you want to have the luxury of your car and now hybrid car, electric cars, but you are saying, you know, we don't want the industry here. Come on, be realistic.
Look at it carefully. The future of the so-called green tech that they are shouting and screaming about, the renewable energy, the 4.0 industries, Lynas will be the one that is the focus. You need rare earth.
You really need rare earth. Why are we singled out all the time? Why do we actually need to defend ourselves all the time?
Even the heavy metal in the groundwater, they accuse Lynas. But did they actually read the report? Did the actual report say that Lynas contributed to that heavy metal? No. But did liners say anything about that? We said we are willing to investigate. And that was the recommendation of the experts. The recommendation of the experts appointed by the MASTEC ministers. So liners has never, ever done anything that is non-compliant. If it has for the past 6 and past 7 years, I am sure we would have been shut down much earlier than that. We do not need demonstration to tell us to shut down. The government authorities are there. They monitor us on a daily basis. Our monitoring data are displayed. They are online, real time, some of them. Why can't they just read it? The residues that we store, these are all documented and has been approved by the authorities.
So MASTEC is asking for liners to send all their piles of residue back to Australia because they say that Malaysia isn't a dumping ground. But liners employees say that this isn't actually an option.
If we send our residues to Australia, what makes you think other countries will not demand the same thing? When we send our bauxite to China, do you think that China will one day say, you take back all these residues? We import oil from the Middle East. We have similar oil sludge and scales here. Do you think that the oil and gas industry will have to send back all the scales and residue back to the Middle East?
And vice versa.
Ask that question.
The oil there that are, you sell to people?
There are rules and regulations.
There's rules
imagine
and
now,
the law.
Imagine now, we produce our rubber. We send it overseas. They use all the tire. Do you want them to come back and send it to us? So what the earlier suggestion by the MASTEC minister is actually a very dangerous precedence. And it is not according to the international convention. But the thing, most important thing is, it does not mean that by saying that we will just simply throw and dump. We don't dump. We store. And you can check. If we have stored it wrongly, the expert would have come down. The IA would have come down. The DOE would have come down. The LB would come down and shut us down immediately. If we have in any way contaminated the groundwater, we have been shut down immediately. There is no evidence to indicate it was liner. Because there's so many activities going on during that.
So it sounds as if this argument is just going to continue. Really did not hear any middle ground or compromise from either side there. Did any MPs come down to receive the memorandum?
Yes, a few ministers came down. YB Maria Chin says that it's time that the plant was closed down. However, YB Fahmi Fadzil was, you know, he decided to go down sort of a more diplomatic route.
Memang kita perlu pertimbangkan di antara keperluan ekonomi dan juga hak rakyat dan saya percaya kalau kita dapat cari satu titik temu di tengah-tengah sweet spot in the middle dan ada satu semangat give and take dan saya percaya kita dapat usahakan satu penyelesaian yang baik dalam isu ini. Saya merasa yang saya akan bangkitkan juga dengan sahabat-sahabat saya tapi bagi saya, saya menyokong apa jua pendirian kabinet dan pada masa yang sama saya juga menyokong hak warga untuk bersuara dalam isu ini.
All right, we are going through the goings on of Dewan Rakyat today on Popek Popek Parliament. Up next, we're going to be covering the issue of Felda, so keep it here on the Evening Edition BFM 89.9.
Welcome to Verdo at Kewbridge, London's most exciting new neighbourhood. Located near the UNESCO World Heritage listed Kew Gardens and River Thames, Verdo is just a 2-minute walk to Kewbridge train station, priced from £399,000 with a 5% deposit to own. Preview Verdo at Kewbridge this April 13th or 14th at EcoWorld International Sales Gallery. Visit ecoworldinternational.com. EcoWorld International, creating tomorrow and beyond.
On the Ball, every Friday at 8 p.m.
You are spying on something that's happening within the privacy of a club's training.
Yeah, you know, so to avoid injuries and...
Not forgetting weekend previews.
And when Dyke keeps improving every game, like, you can't find fault with his defending.
Including the treatment table.
And Chris Smalling will have his sore foot monitored.
And three big shouts for the weekend.
Cardiff haven't won away, they don't normally win away.
Get yourself into the Premier League of Health with On The Ball, brought to you by Manipal Hospitals Klang, for all your health goals.
The Breakfast Grill goes beyond just business.
Our leaders in Pakatan Harapan should perhaps be braver in defending racial diversity, racial unity. We need to change the narrative.
We must recognise that these are people who have been left out in the success story of Malaysia. Unfortunately, it has not been well addressed. I, for one, think that we have to pay a bit more attention to them, but on condition they work for it.
I have to face the reality that on the ground now today, many children,
below 18 are sexually active. How can I, without imposing my belief system and my value system, teach them what is safe, what is medically right?
Keep up with all the latest developments weekdays at 8 a.m.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
It is the evening edition with Lynn and Cam. We're joined in the studio, of course, by Tasha Fusil for Popit Popit Parliament. Now, we're going to move on to the next issue, which was the white paper on FELDA that took up a majority of Parliament floor time. What were the highlights from that report?
So a large part of that report includes the forensic audit, and Economics Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Muhammad Azmin Ali says that the audit revealed a pretty sort of horrid financial situation for FELDA.
Amat malang sekali kedudukan aliran tunai FELDA, amat kritikal, dan ada keperluan untuk kita menstrukturkan semula kedudukan ini bagi meneruskan usaha-usaha FELDA di masa yang akan datang. Seperti yang telah kita tegaskan, berdasarkan sejarah penubuhan FELDA, ia merupakan satu agensi yang amat membanggakan, telah berjaya meningkatkan taraf hidup sosioekonomi masyarakat luar bandar.
Part of the restructuring plans include the government putting in 6.3 billion ringgit worth of loans and grants to manage FELDA's cash flow problems. YB Azmin hopes to see the effects of this taking shape within the next 5 years.
Well, kita menjangkakan ada beberapa komponen ini merupakan komponen yang produktif. Sebagai contoh, kita nak menyiapkan rumah-rumah generasi kedua, ya, yang 70% dan ke atas. Itu memerlukan 250 juta ringgit. Yang kedua, kita juga ingin mengurangkan bebanan hutang peneroka kepada FELDA. Jadi dengan penghapusan kadar faedah ini, pastinya meningkatkan kuasa ekonomi bagi peneroka-peneroka FELDA. Kemudian kita juga program pembangunan pendapatan hasil baru yang kita cadangkan 1 bilion itu dan telah diluluskan. Ini untuk tempoh 4 tahun. Jadi pada tahun ini kita akan menyalurkan 250 juta untuk meningkatkan kemahiran potensi peneroka-peneroka supaya mereka tidak terlalu bergantung kepada hasil sawit tetapi mula beralih ataupun menjana pendapatan baru melalui aktiviti pertanian dan ternakan dengan menggunakan smart farming and also precision agriculture, kerana ini adalah masa depan untuk peneroka-peneroka. Jadi saya kira dalam tempoh 5 tahun ini, kita yakin FELDA boleh diangkat semula sebagai satu agensi yang cukup wibawa dan dapat memulihkan kedudukan kewangan FELDA dan meneruskan agenda membantu peneroka.
Now, of course, former Prime Minister and former Finance Minister Najib Razak has been implicated in the misappropriation of FELDA's funds. In fact, just yesterday, FELDA lodged a police report claiming it was cheated by Najib into investing 2.3 billion ringgit in an Indonesian plantation firm owned by his tycoon friend.
That's right, Cam. Muhammad Issa Sama, who is FELDA's former chairman and who Azmin labelled as FO1, I think as a joke, yeah, was also accused of using funds to buy these grossly overvalued properties in London without the board's approval. Azmin said that a number of other characters have also been identified in the investigation and that police reports will be lodged so that proper action can be taken.
Kita sedang teliti dapatan audit forensik ini. Banyak nama-nama yang telah muncul dalam siasatan ini dan kita akan membuat laporan polis supaya siasatan dapat dijalankan dan tindakan harus diambil, kerana saya sebut tadi ini adalah jenayah. Ya, ini bukan saja kecuaian biasa tetapi ini satu jenayah yang telah melibatkan berbilion ringgit wang rakyat negara Malaysia.
And really quickly, Najib Razak wrote an FB post yesterday saying that the PH government should just admit that FELDA is suffering losses because of the price of palm oil that has dipped below production costs. Azmin responded to this. I thought it was quite worth it to include.
Let him come to the house and debate in the house and I will respond to him. Jangan gunakan Facebook. Dia ahli parlimen. Kena duduk dalam parlimen. Dia bukan ahli Facebook. All right? Dia bukan ahli Twitter.
Fair enough, I think, as a response. That was Minister of Economic Affairs, Datuk Sri Azmin Ali, sharing some of the highlights from the Felda White Paper. Now, of course, we're aware that the motion to amend the federal constitution to give Sabah and Sarawak equal standing, it didn't go through. They needed 148 votes for the bill to pass in Parliament, and in the end, they were short of 10.
Yes, nobody vetoed the bill, but 59 MPs refused to vote, and 19 of those were actually from Sarawak. De facto, Law Minister Datuk Liew Vew Kong, he held a press conference, and this is what he had to say.
59 of them, 19 from Sarawak, had refused to vote. So I don't know. It goes to show that they don't want to support this bill, and they don't want to bring this amendment to give the Sabah and Sarawak people back on the equal footing. So they just want to remain back in the 1976 position. That means Sabah and Sarawak is still one of the states of Malaysia. It has taken us 43 years since 1976 to do it. A golden opportunity has been given. It is missed. The missed board.
The law minister also revealed that he had actually made several personal attempts to meet with all the 19 GPS members to talk things out prior to and after the amendments were first tabled. But he says that they chose not to meet him until the very last minute to talk about what amendments they had wanted.
Because they wanted to include this pursuant to the Malaysian Agreement 1963. I had referred this matter to the Attorney General of Malaysia. Of course, early on, I already got the advice from the AG with regard to the additional additions of the names, the state of Malaya and the states of Borneo. That was agreed upon by Sabah and Sarawak. I said, good, because AG view is that if we do that, we are putting everything back to the 1963 position. There's no issue on that because we are just following that. But if we are going to include the word pursuant to the Malaysian Agreement 1963, it is not in the original provision back in 1963. So we are violating that MA63 if we add what Sarawak GPS wanted us to do. Constitutionally and legally, it's not doable. And they know that very well. They know that very well, but they still insisted until the last hour to put this in.
Is there any chance that the bill will be reintroduced in Parliament?
Datuk VK isn't ruling it out, but it doesn't sound like he will be the one to push for it.
That one is still possible. I'm not going to rule that out. Of course, it will have to get the cabinet approval. So I happen to be the minister in charge of this matter, so I took the initiative to get the paper done and everything, to table it in the cabinet for cabinet approval first before it comes to Parliament. So it has to wait until who is the next minister who has the heart and the passion for all these things.
All right, that was de facto Law Minister Datuk Liew Vew Kong speaking about the failed attempt to pass a bill that would have restored Sabah and Sarawak as founding members of the Federation of Malaysia. Let us know if you have any thoughts on any of the things that we've covered today, whether it was Linus or Felda or MA63. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio, and we will be heading to the 5:30 news very shortly. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.